Lord, we just pray on earth as it is in heaven, God. On earth as it is in heaven, even in our city, God. On earth as it is in heaven, that every knee would bow, God. Every tongue confess that you are Lord. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, God. We thank you, God, that we can call those things which are not as though they are, Lord. And we pray, God, for revival in our city, God. We pray for revival in our people, God, that your church would rise up, God, and begin to walk in the supernatural, God. We say, on earth as it is in heaven, God, your peace, your joy, your love, your faithfulness, God, in our city, Lord. We thank you for that, God, that people will come to know you, that people will come to worship you, that people will come to seek your face, God. That people will come from all over the world, God, here to seek, God, to hear, to see what the Lord is doing in this place, God. We thank you for that. And we pray that out, God, in our lives, Lord, whatever we may need tonight, God. We say on earth as it is in heaven, God, here in my house, God, in my life, God. In this body, Lord, what you have promised, God, we receive it, Lord. Your health, your healing, God, your deliverance, your faithfulness, God. You're with us. You're for us, God. All things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, God. We thank you for that. We praise your name, God, in this place, God, in this church, God, in churches all around. And we say, God, on earth as it is in heaven, let your presence infiltrate, God, our lives. Let your will, God, become what we will. God, we pray, Lord, that I pray a revelation for people, a fresh revelation of who you are, of how much you love them, and what their calling is, what their purpose is. Thank you, God. It's wonderful to be in your presence. And we don't have to be at church to be in your presence. Thank you, God. Worship you this evening. And we praise your name. Amen. God is worthy. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Woo! All right. Thank our worship team and just everything. Awesome. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. All right. Again, welcome to Elevate. If you came in after we started into Sprout, and we'd like to give a moment just in case someone wants to come up, share something that God's been doing this week, this month, this year, in your life. Something small, something big. It's all awesome to hear. And some of you, we don't know you as well. So, like, if you have something to share, that's awesome. Gives us an opportunity to hear from you. So come up if someone has something to share, and you share it. And we had an awesome conference. We had an awesome missions conference, and Alex and his wife Jody were sharing with us, and it was just awesome seeing them work together, seeing them serve together in the calling, and just give their day and their life. The whole weekend that they were here, they made it so easy. And they were ministering to us and blessing us, and that was just awesome time. So, all right, we'll have Ben come up and share.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight? Wow, that was a good response. I usually don't get much. All right, yeah, Sprout, you can head out. All right. Tonight we're going to talk about deep deposit. So we're going to find out that God has put something into every single person here. He's got something awesome. He's in store. Breathe into your life. He's put something in every single one of your lives, your hearts. And today we're going to find out a few details about what that might be and some other things we're going to talk about. But before we do that, we're going to have to find out, what is God depositing it into? And yeah, we know it's us, but we're going to look at the scripture. We're going to see, we're going to work through a few verses, we're going to work through a few places, and we're going to find out, what is God depositing into? So we're going to open to Genesis 2, 5 through 7, and here we're going to read about what this deposit is getting put into. So right now in this verse, or in this chapter, in the chapter prior, God is creating earth, and he's separating the winds. Is that better? He's separating the sky, the lightness and darkness. He's separating the waters from the earth. He's putting in plants. He's creating life. He's doing some awesome stuff. And then we get to the place where he's going to create humans. And we're going to read about that. It's going to be interesting. So it says from verse 5 to 7 in Genesis 2, "At that time, God made earth and heaven before any grasses or shrubs had sprouted from the ground. God hadn't yet rained on earth, nor was there anyone around to work the ground. The whole earth was watered by underground springs. God formed man out of dirt." Say dirt. Say it in Russian. Graz. I like that. It's like powerful. God formed man out of dirt from the ground. That's what God is depositing into. A nice little canister of dirt. Of Graz. You know? And it's funny that that's the perspective we have, is we try to make our dirt look good, you know? We put makeup on our dirt, you know? We take pictures of our dirt. We drive a nice car to make our dirt look good, you know? And it's just, we're dirt. I mean, there's nothing more than God picks some dust up out of there, just breathe into it. And as he's breathing life, he's putting something in. I need a volunteer. Oh, Colin, come on up. I'm going to use my boy Colin here. I'm going to have you hold a little something here if I find it in my pocket. Hold this. Can you tell me what that is?
Piece of corn.
Piece of corn. So as God is, follow me, as God is creating dirt, well, creating man out of dirt, he's breathing life. And as he's breathing life, go ahead, stick that in there, he's depositing something into this dirt. There we go. We're going to cover that up real nice. All right, you can sit down. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. Now, as you notice, what he put into this dirt was a seed. So, yeah, it's dirt, but dirt is that one place where something, what can happen in dirt if you put the right thing in it? Something can grow, right? It's got nutrients. It's got some life in there, something that can empower that seed, something's been placed in there, and something can happen that can make that thing that's been placed in there grow and turn into something so much more. And now we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. And we're going to see that Paul, he's writing a letter to Timothy, and he's going to kind of talk about a couple things, and we're going to repeat them back so we remember them about what to do with what we have here. And in verse 3, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and all persuaded in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." God, Paul was writing, he said, I want to stir up something that God has put in you, right? God has, there's a little more than just planting something in there, leaving something in the dirt. And Paul is saying, stir up the gift which is in you. I want to hear back, stir up. Stir up. Stir it up. Let's see some hand motions. Stir it. Stir what God has put in you. Again, everyone. Stir what God has put in you. All right, that sounds like action. All right, now there's this illustration I've heard. Some of you might have heard of it. It was about a little boy and a father. And the father brought home a peach, and the boy ate it. And what he was left with was a seed. And the boy came to the father. He asked, "Dad, what is this?" And the father, he's like, "Son, that's a seed." And things went, you know, one step after another. And the father explains to him that if you take the seed and go outside and you plant it in the ground, it's going to grow into a tree. And the boy, being, you know, 5, 6 years old, he's excited. You know, he runs out, pulls out the tiller, gets the ground all kicked up, puts the seed in there, covers it up, goes back home. Next day, walks out, presses his face against the window, looks, and no tree. You know, he's like, okay, maybe it needs a day or two, is what it is. Comes back the next day, looks, still no tree. And he does this for a week, and then he gets a little upset. He's like, man, my dad lied to me. There's no tree. I put the seed in the ground, and I see nothing. There's no growth. There's no tree. And he comes to his dad, and his dad explains to him that, like, what did you do after you planted it? And he brought his son outside. He said, son, you can't expect something to grow if you don't first water it and stir up the ground. And that is what God is calling us to do in our lives, that he's planted something in us, but it requires something on our accord to stir it up. Like, we know we have something. Every single person knows that God has, or sometimes you think you don't know, but really God has put something in us, and he's saying we need to stir that up. We need to water it. And we water it through the word of God, water it through prayer, we water it from being in his presence. In his presence, we realize our potential and what God has put in us. In Judges 6, 11 through 16, this is the story of Gideon. And we're going to read through a couple of verses. We're going to realize that Gideon had something that God put in him, but there was a couple things that he was hitting the brakes on that was keeping him from walking out what God put in him. And we're going to read through and we're going to realize what those things were. And then we're going to, if you've already know the story of Gideon, he overcomes those things and he goes on to be a great leader and kill the Midianites, the enemies of Israel. So we're going to read starting in verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah, but that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep from the Midianites. What Gideon was doing here with the winepress was, the winepress is for wine. He was thrashing wheat in this place because he was trying to hide from the Midianites. So you can tell there's already a lot of fear there. And it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders of our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. So as the angel of the Lord is talking to Gideon, he's speaking something in Gideon. Gideon had a leadership potential. God already saw something Gideon was going to be. He already saw into the future. He saw what he put into Gideon. And he knew Gideon, he had a plan for him. He knew that Gideon was going to lead an army to overcome the Midianites. But Gideon, in that moment, he didn't see that. There was a couple things that were blocking what God had deposited in him. And those things, I believe, were fear, doubt, and I think a lot of it had to do actually with what people thought of him. Because we read here, it says, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. So he's got a little bit of a self-conscious thing going on. So he doesn't believe in himself, so he's worried about what people think of him. He has doubt and fear. And these things were disabling what God had put in him to enable him. And that was going to keep him from being who God called him to be. You know, God has deposited all that in us, but there's these things in our lives, specifically fear, doubt, and what we think people think of us, that kind of disabled what God's put in us. There's this quote from Les Brown that says, the graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here that you will find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, the cures that were never discovered, all because someone was too afraid to take that first step, keep with the program, or determine to carry out their dreams. It's fear, doubt, and sometimes the fear of people's opinions that we allow into ourselves that disable what God's put in us. And that's a scary thing. The graveyard is the richest place. If you think about it, there's a bunch of dead people with hopes and dreams and ideas that never actually came to life. And it's a sad reality that even myself, like I have to come before God and surrender myself and say, God, like, what have you placed in me that I'm blocking myself? What is it that you're trying to use me for? What are you trying to pour out into this world? We pray and sing, kingdom, let heaven manifest itself on earth, let heaven come down to earth. But heaven comes down to earth through us. Same way how Jesus came in the physical flesh and the Spirit of God is working through him. The same way we as believers are supposed to walk in surrender to the Father and allow that to work through us. And God not only breathed life, but he breathed a gift into every single one of you. And that gift could be creativity. It could be building something. It could be, you might be a great accountant or something. Every single person here has been given something they're good at. And that's not there by accident. God has put that there for his glory. And you're called and entrusted to carry that out. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives you. Paul would never tell Timothy to guard something if there wasn't something to guard it from. And if you know as a believer, what is the number one thing that's after you? It's the enemy. It's Satan. Satan's after not only you, but your gift. He knows that you and you operating in your gift is a serious threat to God's kingdom. And he will do anything to take that away from you, to get you blindsided from what God has put in you. And sometimes, and most of the time, the way the enemy works is not directly attacking you, but using you to use your gift for yourself. God is calling us to use our gifts for his glory. A lot of times we use our gifts for our glory, and the enemy loves that because bringing glory to ourselves really is just self-worship, and it's the complete opposite of what God calls us in regards to worshiping him. If we come and say, God, we want to worship you and lay our lives down to you, that means, God, we trust that you've put something in us and that you want to use it for more than just us. You want to use it to show your glory. So how do we walk that out? One day we're all going to have to stand before the Father and whenever we meet our Maker, as they say. One day we're all going to die. One day we're all going to go to either heaven or hell. But those that go to heaven, they're going to go through not really judgment, but an account for their works. And in Matthew 25:23, this was a parable Jesus was giving to his disciples. And toward the end of the parable, it was the parable of the coins and what those guys did with those coins, the three men that had coins entrusted to them. At the end Jesus says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. So God is trusting that what we've been given, what he's breathed into us from the day we were born, we're going to use that to the fullest potential. And we're going to have to give an account for what God has placed in us, whatever that gift may be. We're going to have to give an account for it one day. And God's not going to ask, well thought or well talked about. He's going to be very specific. He's going to say, well done. The question to you today is, what are you doing with that gift? Are you stirring it up and allowing water to come down, water in the sense of the Word of God, to nurture that seed? And when you stir it up, when you work through it, when you allow God to work through it, you'll see that something grows out of that seed. It's my credit card. It's the only thing of value I found today. But what's funny is that none of you knew that was in there except me. And that's how God works. There's a lot of gifts God has put in you that even sometimes you might not realize is there, but God knows is there. That's why it's so important to be in his presence. And when you're in his presence, you realize who you are to him and who he says you are. And through that realization, what he put in you at birth will become to grow and your purpose will come to life. And that's all I have for you today. But today is about stirring up. Say it, stir up what God has put in you. Say it without me. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Stir up what God has put in me.
God has put something in every single one of you. Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's thank God for depositing something in us, not leaving us here with nothing. He put something awesome into every single person here, and he's calling us to stir that up through the Holy Spirit, through time in prayer, through being in his word. And we just thank you, Father, for your word today, God. We just thank you for your promise. We thank you, Father, for putting in so much hopes and so much dream and so much talent into every single person here, God. We thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in this place, Father. We pray that we walk in full surrender to you, God, that we come in, into your presence, Father, and that in your presence we realize who we are to you, Father, and that you water and grow what you've planted in us. We pray, Father, that we take the giftings, the creativity, the personalities, God, the gifts, and even the finances, God, and the things, the ideas that come to us, Father, and we don't use it for ourselves, God, which is what the enemy wants, but we use it for your glory, Father. We use it for your glory, Father, because it's all about you, God. It all goes back to you, Father. We're here to serve you and to honor you, God, and we pray, Father, that today there would be a breakthrough, a shift in the atmosphere, Father, in our hearts. Dear Lord God, we come to the realization that there's so much more in us that we might not even realize sometimes, but God, that at your feet, Father, we might come to that realization, God, and that something might grow in us, Father, and come to life, Lord God, and that it will bring glory to your name. Father, we thank you, we honor you, we thank you for this service, Father, we thank you for everyone that's been here, Lord God, and is coming here, Father. We pray that you bless our time of fellowship, Father, that your Spirit's with us, Father. We honor your name. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. See you downstairs.